Don't Depend on Daddy is an unfiltered safe space, empowering young professionals to build independence in their 20s and beyond, whether it be personal, professional, or financial. Regardless of your age, relationship status, or job title, the most consistent person in your life is you. So join me and let's build our independence together. Enjoy. Hello and welcome back to Don't Depend on Daddy, the podcast. My name is Michaela. I am your host and I am so excited for today's episode. We are doing our annual spring clean episode. So I've done this the past 2 years, actually. As I was looking back through like all of my notes from last year, I realized that was my V2 version of spring cleaning your finances. Honestly, don't go back and listen to those other ones because we're in a new vibe, we're in a new tune, so we're going to do an updated version. But because Don't Depend on Daddy is more than just a money podcast, we are also going to be talking about spring cleaning your career and spring cleaning your life. So all the things today. Before we get into the bulk of today's episode, we're going to go through our usual housekeeping. So first things first, as always, you can get $10 off the personal finance dashboard using the code PODCAST1. The personal finance dashboard is my signature financial planning tool. If you are new to the Break Your Budget orbit and you're looking for where to get started or you're looking for a money tool, check out the personal finance dashboard. If you are interested in overhauling your finances, overhauling your financial situation, I recommend that you download the financial planning checklist. Again, that's always in the show notes. That'll take you through my free 4-day financial planning email course. Really, really helpful and informative. And as always, if you have not ordered Own Your Money or listened to it on Spotify Premium, you totally should. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books. I do want to say, very special precursor announcement. Next Monday, the pre-sale for my next book, Own Your Career, officially starts. And next week's podcast, I'm going to talk about it obviously at more length, but podcasters are getting the juice a little bit early. If you are listening to this in, you know, the few days before next week, so the first week that it goes up, yeah, Own Your Career. My next book is coming out for pre-order. The publication date is July 2nd, which I think I've mentioned on the show before, but we have a 3-month like pre-sale window. Pre-sales are so important. This is the first time you'll hear me say it now, and you're going to hear me say it every single week until July 2nd. Pre-sales are so important. And so I am going to be doing a big whole pre-sale, pre-order incentive. There's going to be masterclasses, giveaways, all the things if you pre-order the book. So stay tuned for that. Again, details are going to be coming next week, but get excited because Own Your Career is going to be so freaking awesome. I'm really excited. I don't want to say it's way better than Own Your Money because they're two different books, but I feel really, really, really proud and excited about the way that Own Your Career has come to life. And I will be honest, I did not feel that way about Own Your Money. So I'm so excited for this to come out and I'm so excited for you to read it. So with that, let's move into our Don't Depend on Daddy moment of the week. As a reminder, the Don't Depend on Daddy moment of the week is just an opportunity to share a moment of independence. So the things that generally get overlooked when you are showing up for yourself, being independent and really exemplifying how you are your own best friend. So this week, my Don't Depend on Daddy moment of the week was doing my own spring cleaning over this past weekend. I've already purged my closet because I have a capsule wardrobe, so I feel like I don't really have anything to throw out at this point, but I purged all of my like sweatshirts, sweatpants, etc. that have just been essentially thrown into like my storage cabinet because they don't even fit in my closet. I also purged out all of my like toiletries and old makeup and old skincare that I'd been hanging on to that was expired. So I cleaned out my bathroom and then I cleaned out my kitchen cabinets and I'm feeling really, really, really light and fresh and clean. It felt so good. So hopefully this episode in my own journey, spring cleaning, inspires you to take some time over the next couple of weeks to start spring cleaning your own life because it literally feels so good to get rid of stuff. And I already don't feel like I have a lot of stuff, but even I have a lot of stuff. Like I open up my drawers and in my cabinets and I'm like, what is all of this? It's so easy for it to just get sort of pushed to the side or pushed to the back of the cabinet and not realize how much you have. So you should definitely be spring cleaning if you haven't yet. And with that, let's get into the rest of this episode, which is spring cleaning your money, your career, and your life. We're going to start here with spring cleaning your money and your finances. And I have six things here that you can start to do over the next, like, we'll say two-ish weeks. By the end of April, you want to try to have some of this done and reviewed and audited. You know, the end of the quarter is sort of my favorite time to go through and refresh everything because, you know, the quarters generally align with the season. So we're going into spring. I mean, technically it's officially spring at this moment, but it's a great time to just refresh everything. So give yourself a deadline on here. I would say 2 weeks, but you know, life happens. So by the end of April, that's also fine. So the first thing that you'll want to look at are your financial goals. So number one, review your goals. When you have longer term financial goals, you can basically work backwards and break them down into midterm and short-term goals. So I like to look at my goals as annual goals broadly, but then I like to break them down into quarterly goals and then monthly goals. And every month I'll reevaluate and look at my goals for, you know, the quarter. And every quarter, I think it's important to reevaluate and look at your progress towards those goals and then how they fit into your broader plans for the year and beyond. It's really, really, really normal for your goals to shift and change throughout the year as life changes, things happen, you know, your desires and interests change. So if you're not reassessing and reevaluating your goals, I would say at a minimum on a quarterly or biannual basis, you may find that you lose motivation or you sort of veer off track. So a few things to ask yourself is, how are you tracking on your progress towards your financial goals, which is why it's so important to make sure you have a tool to measure your progress. So how are you tracking towards your financial goals? Have they shifted or changed? Has your budget changed at all, which we'll get to in a moment? And do any of your goals need to be readjusted or rejiggered? So let's say you had a goal this year to save up an emergency fund of $5,000, okay? And then you ended up getting a big tax refund for $2,500. And now, oh my gosh, all of a sudden you're pretty much at your target goal for your emergency fund and you need to reevaluate what you want to use as your goals for the rest of the year. Great example of, okay, maybe I need to introduce like an investing goal, or maybe I want to plus up my 401k for Q2 and sort of focus on that. So think about how your goals are shifting and changing, if they are, and what you want your focus to be for Q2 and potentially going into Q3. The second thing that you want to do is review your broader financial plan in general for the year. So if you don't have one, you really do need one. Again, I recommend you download that financial plan checklist, go through my free email course. And if you're looking for more, I do have a course called the 4-week financial plan. That is a paid course. But it does take you through how to actually put one together in detail. I essentially hold your hand through the whole process. So make sure you are reviewing your broader financial plan or creating one if you have not made one yet. So the first thing you want to look at is your income. Is your income on target for what you are expecting at this point in the year? You know, again, maybe you got a new job or you are looking for a new job or you're starting a side hustle. So assess, is your income on target for what you are anticipating? Then you want to look at your spending. So what is your quarterly total for Q1 for your essentials? Is it what you expected? Were you over or under on your plan and why? And then look at your non-essential expenses. So what were you like spending your money on over Q1? For me, for example, I had a handful of, I don't want to say necessarily unexpected non-essential expenses, but I did spend a little bit more money in Q1 than I was anticipating because I went on an unplanned ski trip. So that cost me $1,000. I made a few purchases. You know, I bought my Jenny Kane sweater, which I've talked about on here. That was pretty expensive. So, you know, my spending was a little bit different than what I had originally planned just because things came up. But I wouldn't say that my spending was disproportionate to my income in any way. So there aren't really any super major changes that I'm going to be making going into the spring and summer. And then you want to ask yourself like what is and isn't working with your plan. So are you sticking to your budget? Why not? Why are you doing well in certain categories? You know, be really reflective on what your numbers are and what the drivers or catalysts are behind those numbers. Okay. So that's where we want to get to is the why. Maybe you're way over budget on shopping. What's the reason? Did you have stuff come up or are you just scrolling on TikTok a lot and you have a lot of impulse shopping to do? Or you've been doing a lot of impulse shopping. What does that tell us? It tells us that maybe you need to shift some of your behaviors so that your budget can actually reflect the progress that you want to make. And all of this really ties together with your financial goals. So step number one and step number two are reviewing your goals and reviewing your plans. Your financial plan should enable you to design the life that you want to live. Keep in mind too that in the spring and the summer, when the days are longer and the weather is warmer, you're going to be more out and about most likely. And so if you need to also adjust your baseline budget, so what your expenses are going to be looking like on a monthly basis, do that now and be realistic about what they will look like potentially. So for me, I usually, or over Q1 at least, I've been spending on average around like $150 to $200 on restaurants and going out per month, which is, you know, fairly low. But I do know that in, you know, April, May, June, July, like I'm going to probably be going out a little bit more. I'm going to be spending a little bit more on Ubers because I'm kind of in a phase where I want to be out and about. I want to be doing things. I don't want to be saying no to plans, and I want my budget to properly reflect that. So I'm going to probably be making some changes to my, you know, budget over the course of the next couple of months. And I share that because, again, it's normal. So don't be afraid to be realistic. The third thing here for you to do is to start reviewing your money routines. So are you someone who has set financial goals and you put together a plan, but you're not sticking to or working through your weekly money routines? If you are that person, here is your sign that you need to put together your weekly routine plan. What do I mean by that? So you know what a weekly routine is, hopefully. If you don't, I'll do a quick run through. Tracking your expenses, doing a little bit of self-reflection, and then making adjustments to your budget. So if you don't have a set day of the week where that's either on your calendar or it's part of what you do on that specific day of the week, here's your reminder to refresh that a little bit. So personally, I do my weekly reviews on either Sunday mornings before I go out and about my day. So usually on Sundays, I like to like go to the farmer's market, do something social. Sometimes I like go to Erewhon or treat myself or do something. You know, I'm doing a little bit of something social generally on a Sunday. I like to track my expenses from the week prior before I go about and do that because it just makes me feel a little bit more secure in my plans for that day and for the rest of the week. But beyond that, I also have a community. It's called the Break Your Budget Inner Circle. I've mentioned it before, where we do live weekly money reviews on Monday. So that's also an opportunity for me to track my expenses if I didn't have the opportunity to do it on Sunday, or, you know, if I spent money on Sunday and I need to catch up a little bit. So pick your day of the week where you're going to be doing your weekly money review and add it to your regular weekly routine. So maybe you do your Sunday reset or you do your Monday morning planning, whatever it is for you, or Friday. You like to do it on Fridays before the weekend. I know there are people who like to do that. So pick your day and add it to the calendar, because if you haven't been sticking to it and you have goals, then there's a disconnect there. You need to find that alignment, and a great time to do it is going into the spring, summer, when you're sort of auditing and refreshing everything. If you also want to introduce some new routines, so that could be like a payday routine or adding in, you know, a bi-weekly routine, then the spring is a really great time to do that as well. So look at your financial routines. If you haven't been sticking to them, add them to the calendar. At a baseline, you should be doing a monthly money review. If you want to go beyond, above and beyond that, I would recommend making sure you're doing a weekly money routine and you have your set day for that, and potentially a payday routine or a bi-weekly audit or refresh, which would really just be like an exacerbated version of a weekly review. And if you're looking for additional support or additional accountability with those routines, I highly recommend that you join the Break Your Budget Inner Circle. We've got a small group in there. I've got a few regulars every single Monday. Next Monday on April 1st, we're doing our April or March money review. We're also going to do a little bit of a quarterly review. So if you're looking for additional help on that, come join the Inner Circle. It's $10 a month. You can cancel anytime. Number four is to clean up all of your paperwork. So tax season is sort of dwindling down, you know, tax days in a few weeks, and it's likely that you've received a lot of mail. I don't know about you, but even when I'm auto enrolled in, you know, paperless bills and whatever, I still get a ton of mail and I still get tons of stuff coming to me, all sort of tax forms and everything. It's actually incredibly annoying. But I have a big like accordion folder for all of my important paperwork, and I organize it by type. So I have a tab for anything I get related to my car, so like my car registration, car insurance policies, whatever. I have a health insurance one. I have one for my tax returns, and then I have one for tax documents. I have a separate one for my business bank account. I have one for my personal bank account. I have one for my passport, old licenses, all that kind of stuff. I like to just keep everything organized. So if I ever need something, I know it's in that folder and it makes it easy to find. Because I'm the type of person where if I get a bunch of mail, I'm literally leaving it on my counter for weeks because it overwhelms me. I hate mail. I don't like it. I figure if somebody really needs me, they'll call me. That's not reality or life. So what I do is I dedicate time, usually once a month or every 2 weeks, depending on if I have a lot of mail, where I will sort through it, shred everything up that I don't need, and I will sort it into my folder. So here's your sign. If you've had a bunch of mail laying around or you have that junk drawer with all that mail you haven't opened, go get an accordion folder, organize it by category, and organize out your mail and all of your paperwork so that it's all in one place. This literally changed my life, and I like to go through and clear it out every couple of months. So like honestly, biannually probably is more realistic, but quarterly is a good reminder. I like to clear it all out with like old policies that aren't applicable anymore, old paperwork that's not necessary. And so that keeps it from getting like way overstuffed. So number four is to clean up and organize your paperwork. Number five is to file your taxes if you have not done this yet. Obviously, it's tax season up until April like 15th-ish. I know it might not be exactly April 15th, but if you haven't filed your taxes, here's your sign you need to do that. Make sure you organize all of your tax documents too. So that sort of falls into number four, which we touched on. Go through all of your accounts. I actually like to organize my tax documents digitally and physically. So I have them all organized physically in that folder, but if I obviously, you know, get anything digitally, I also have folders on my desktop and folders on my Google Drive where I put everything so I can always access it year over year over year. Because I do find that sometimes, for example, like this year, my accountant asked me for tax documents and tax information from last year so that he could compare things. So it's really important to make sure everything is all organized. I do find that this really helps with tax overwhelm because I get so overwhelmed during tax season just with all of the emails, all the forms. Like, it just stresses me out. It's one of those things where I'm like, I just hate this. So organizing it is like a defense mechanism for me to actually get through it. So if you haven't filed your taxes, here is your sign. Dedicate half a day and get that done immediately so that you don't have to worry about it. Because also, like, you might owe money, so you need to put together a plan to make sure you have that money. But you also might be getting some money back. And you want to have that so you can add it and assess it as part of your broader financial plan. And the last thing here to sort of spring clean your finances is to clear out your subscriptions. So go through and audit any sort of monthly subscriptions that you have, whether they be like TV subscriptions, podcast subscriptions, app subscriptions, whatever you have going on. I didn't do this last year and I paid for over a year of Apple TV, not realizing that I was paying for Apple TV and I never freaking watched anything on there. So like, that's annoying because that was probably, you know, $120 that I spent that I didn't get anything from. So I canceled that, obviously. I recently subscribed to Peacock, but I'm actually going to be canceling my Peacock at the end of April. So like, that's on my list. I subscribe to a few podcasts. So it's just a matter of like making sure you understand and know what you're signed up for and what you're paying for, because your phone, especially if you do it through your phone and you have Apple Pay and everything set up, your phone automatically resubscribes you to stuff unless you go in and opt out of it. Same goes for if you download an app with a free trial or anything with a free trial and you do it through your phone, your phone will automatically resubscribe you. So you have to go back and look through that and make sure you're not accidentally paying for things that you're not using. So focus on the big ones. So streaming, you know, anything that I would say is over like $20 to $30, I would really make sure if you are paying for that, you're actually using it. And then see if you can consolidate stuff. So maybe you're paying for a bunch of different streaming services and you're really finding that you're only gravitating towards two of them. Cancel the other ones. And if you miss them, you can always go resubscribe. But if you're focusing, let's say if you're only watching a show that's on Hulu, you don't also need to be paying for HBO. You don't also need to be paying for Netflix, and you don't also need to be paying for Peacock. Maybe just pay for Hulu for a few months and then graduate and go to a different one. That's sort of my strategy with streaming because I got kicked off of my family Netflix, obviously. And like, Honestly, it's the principle of it. Like, it's so annoying that there's four of us and each of us have to pay for a separate, or at least my sister and I have to pay for a separate Netflix compared to my parents. Like, why? But, you know, anyways, I canceled my Netflix and now I have just Hulu and I got Peacock and I'm watching The Jersey Shore on Hulu. So when I'm done watching that, I'm likely going to cancel my Hulu. And then I'm waiting for a few shows to come out on Netflix, like Bridgerton. When that comes out, then I'm going to subscribe to Netflix for a month and I'll catch up on all the shows on there and then I'll cancel it. So that's sort of my strategy with subscriptions. Just as a roundup of the subscriptions that I currently have, I have Hulu, I have Peacock, I subscribe to Medium, which is an op-ed, that's $5 a month as a business expense. I subscribe to Ouro, which is a Pilates app, really love it. I obviously have Spotify, and then I recently, not recently, now like a couple months ago, subscribed to the Brooke and Connor Make a Podcast Close Friends. If you listen to that podcast, just be on Close Friends. I think their Close Friends episodes are way better than the public episodes because they're behind a paywall. So, you know, obviously the attitude and like what they can and can't say is so much different when it's not sponsored. So highly recommend if you like their unpaid regular podcast. So those are the subscriptions that I currently have. So as a quick roundup on how to spring clean your money, review your goals, review your financial plan in general, or create one if you don't have one. Review your financial routine. So make sure you have a weekly money routine set date and time in place every week. Make sure you're doing your monthly routines and go through and audit everything. Clean up and organize your paperwork. If you don't have an accordion folder, go get one. File your taxes if you haven't yet. And clear out all of your subscriptions that you aren't using. Aim to consolidate where you can. So that is the summary for spring cleaning your money. And now let's move into spring cleaning and reviewing your career. So over the next couple of weeks and months, obviously leading up to my book launch, I am going to be doing a lot more career content specifically on the podcast too. If you haven't listened to my episode with Career Contessa, you totally should. She actually endorsed my book, which was a full circle moment. I'm so excited about that. And I went onto her podcast we recorded last week. So that should be coming out in the next couple of weeks. So go listen to that. But career stuff, I feel like, gets overlooked as part of the spring cleaning process. But you really should be reconsidering, reevaluating, looking at what isn't working in your career on a pretty regular basis. I would say quarterly is ideal, biannually at a minimum, because things, you know, they move a little bit slower in your career, I would say. But you want to be agile. You don't want to get stuck in a job. So the first thing that I recommend you do is really review and audit your career goals from the beginning of the year. So it's likely that you set some goals with your manager that were related to your specific role at the beginning of the year. So now is a great time to go back and look at those, make sure the work that you're getting and the responsibility you have at work is actually tracking against those goals so that you can ensure, you know, when those important career conversations come up and they're going to be looking at, did you meet your goals or not, you actually have projects and examples and work that align with those goals. So you can say, yes, I met them. If you're finding that there's a disconnect there, meaning that, you know, you have five goals and you haven't done any work towards them because your manager keeps giving you other responsibilities, that's an indicator that it's probably a conversation that you need to have with your manager to do one of two things. Either, hey, you know, we set these goals and the work that I'm getting isn't aligned with these goals. We either need to, one, change the goals to better align with the work that I'm now doing, or we need to change the work I'm getting to better align with the goals. That's your responsibility to bring up with your manager. I think this is like something people think is your manager is the one who is overseeing everything you're doing. And, you know, it's their responsibility to pay attention to that. In a perfect world, if you had a great manager, yeah, it would be nice if they did that. It's actually not their job to do that. So I would say you own your career, obviously. Make sure you're staying on top of that. Show initiative, be proactive, and own the direction of your career. Like, you can't blame anybody else if you're not doing that. So make sure you're reviewing your role-specific goals. But beyond that, I would also be thinking about goals outside of the office too. So maybe you set some development goals, which I guess technically can also be inside the office. But if you have development goals, so those could be new skills you want to learn, classes you want to take, anything related to your career, whether it be at work or if you're like considering starting some sort of side hustle of sorts. So if you have development opportunities at work, so that could be classes, certifications, etc., that you can do through work, look at those, see if you've actually taken any action on them. So like, let's say at the beginning of the year, you said, I really want to get really good at Excel. And you said that in January, and it's now the end of March, and you haven't even opened Excel in your computer. It's like, okay, do I really want to do this? And if so, what am I going to do between now and July where I'm actually going to start, you know, getting better at Excel? Am I going to take a class? Am I going to start watching a LinkedIn learning class? Am I going to watch YouTube videos? Am I going to do this outside of the office instead? Think about it. Put together an action plan there. And then income goals would be anything related to increasing your income. So that could be like, you know, getting a raise or a promotion at work, which again, then you'd want to be thinking about, are you reaching your goals at work? Are you developing in the sense, are you doing what needs to happen in order to get that promotion? But also starting a side hustle potentially. So exploring options for increasing your income outside of the office. That could mean developing a certain skill. That could mean putting together a business idea or putting together some sort of social media plan in order to launch a social media page for your business. It could be deciding that you want to start driving for Uber or doing, you know, Rover or Wag or Instacarting or something and putting yourself on a little schedule in order to get that moving so you can actually be making progress towards picking up some extra cash every week. Think about the actual action steps that need to be taken in order to reach these goals that you've set at the beginning of the year. And start evaluating your progress. I like to use, you know, I don't mean to plug this, but I'm going to, the Own Your Career template specifically for your career. I also use Notion for my like career planning and business planning and all of that. I don't have a Notion template available, and I honestly don't think I'm going to make one because it's kind of confusing, but I really love using Notion for monitoring my business, putting together my content plans and such. So I highly recommend doing that. If you don't use it, give it a whirl. And I do have, if you're interested in starting a side hustle, I do have a side hustle guide. I will make sure that that is in the show notes because I don't think it's been in the show notes in the past. Okay, moving on beyond just your goals from the beginning of the year and sort of reevaluating what those look like, the next thing that you can start to do is upgrade your resume. If you don't already have my resume template, you should download that. I'll also make sure that that is in the show notes. From what I've heard from recruiters, best practice is to be upgrading your resume like every 6 or so months. And the reason is, there's a bunch of reasons actually. One, because you kind of never know if you're going to get laid off. I think we've seen that become a little bit more normal. Like people are getting laid off all the time lately, which is kind of crazy, but it does happen unexpectedly. So it's really important to make sure that you are ready to go, ready to start applying for jobs if you do find yourself in a situation where you are laid off. So that would be the number one reason. But the number two reason is because, you know, your work kind of shifts, ebbs and flows all throughout the year. So you want to just have an updated resume that's reflective of some of your most recent work. And it really can force you to be like, okay, am I getting work that's actually good enough to be putting on my resume? Am I able to properly summarize and formalize the work that I am doing to be, you know, explained in a quantifiable and impactful way? And if not, what changes do I need to make? So definitely recommend updating your resume around this period of time. I think a great time to do it is in the spring, sort of after bonus season, because now is like a great time too to like start applying for jobs if you're looking for something new. I know the job market is really weird, but historically, like spring into summer is a good time for interviewing and applying for jobs. And then also around 6 months from now in September, during like the September surge, the fall, post-summer fall surge before the holidays is the other really great time. So this is a good like cycle to start getting on. The next thing that I would do is, so number three, is to audit and upgrade your digital presence. So go onto your LinkedIn and make sure that your LinkedIn is up to date, meaning that you have a profile summary in there, you have a really good strong header that tells, you know, exactly what you're doing at the company that you work at, you have your most recent work experience on there and a couple of quick bullet points. They don't have to be your resume bullet points, but a couple quick bullet points with keywords around the actual work that you're doing and have done in the past, so that like, if recruiters, for example, with job opportunities are searching for people with specific skills, your resume or your LinkedIn presence comes up. You want to make sure any skills or certifications you have are on there, any sort of skill endorsements are on there. And then you also want to make sure you have an updated profile picture. So if you have a profile picture on LinkedIn that's from over 2 years ago, it's time for a little bit of a refresh. You can get a headshot done at work. A lot of times offices will have that, you know, depending on where you work, obviously, but you can just message your HR. Sometimes they'll have that service available. You can also just take one using like cinematic or portrait mode on your phone. And it's really, really important to have a profile picture on your LinkedIn that is representative of what you actually look like, especially so if you are a recent grad, or actually what I mean to say is a non-recent grad, but your picture is still a graduation picture. If you have graduated college more than a year ago, your LinkedIn picture should not be a photo of you from graduation. So definitely make sure you change that, because I think people forget that or don't realize in that period post-grad, if you hang on to college at work, you're going to be treated like a 22, 23 year old. Like you're not going to be treated the same way as some more tenured employees. And that can be a negative thing. And also like perceived, you don't want to be perceived as a fresh out of school grad if you are not, is what I'm trying to say. So if you didn't graduate college in 2023 or 2022 and your picture on LinkedIn is still a picture of you from graduation, change it immediately. And the last thing here that you can do is to declutter your workspace. So if you work from home, clear out your desk, wipe everything down, clear out your drawers, throw old stuff away, get rid of old notebooks. If you work from an office, you know, make sure your desk is cleared out, keep everything nice and organized. I always get questions around like, how do you keep your desk so clean and minimal? And it's because I don't have a lot of stuff and I don't accumulate a lot of stuff and I throw things away regularly. So if you have a cluttered workspace, it can actually really inhibit your productivity. So take some time to clear out all the drawers in your desk, whether it be at home or in the office. Organize things, you know, maybe get some new pens, get a new notebook, clear things out. Declutter your desktop usually at the end of the week, but especially at the end of the quarter. I like to go through, empty the trash on my desktop, clear out all of my like screenshots, anything I'm not using, make sure that any, you know, miscellaneous thing on my desktop is added to a folder, and I will clear out all of my downloads and just free up the space on my computer. It feels really good, and I highly recommend that you do that. So those are the things you can do to spring clean your career. So review your career goals from the beginning of the year, maybe add in some new ones, upgrade your resume. I do have a free resume template for this, so you can download that. I'll make sure it's in the show notes. Audit and upgrade your digital presence. So make sure your LinkedIn is all set, get a new photo, and then declutter your workspace. So clear out your desk physically, clear off your desktop on your computer, and just keep things nice and organized. Whew, okay. So now we're going to move into spring cleaning your life, okay? So number one is to clear out your closet. So do a full closet clean out and start identifying any gaps in your spring or summer wardrobe. So as part of like the capsule wardrobe journey that I am on and have been on for a while, my like regular seasonal goal is to make sure that the gaps in my closet are filled with elevated, timeless basics, like pieces that I can use and reuse all the time. That's not to say that, you know, occasionally there isn't going to be a trendier item that I sprinkle in here or there, but I do feel like taking the time to make sure that my closet is cleaned out, that I'm only holding on to clothes that I regularly reach for. This has made it a lot easier for me to find pieces that make sense for my closet. It's made it a lot easier for me to get dressed and to make sure that the clothes that I do have go with everything. I can pull together an outfit pretty quickly, and it's an outfit that I actually like and feel good in. So if you feel like you have a closet full of clothes, but you have nothing to wear, now is a really lovely time to go through and sort of clean things out a little bit. And with those clothes, you can either donate them, you can sell them on Poshmark, you can do ThredUp. Somebody in the inner circle actually mentioned that she was selling some of her clothes that she doesn't wear via a Reddit thread. So explore Reddit potentially as a place to find people who are interested in buying some clothes. It's so important to make sure that your closet is clear, especially for the springtime, because I feel like spring clothes and summer clothes are obviously very different than winter clothes. And you're going to want to make sure you have things that you feel good in. And if you take the time to like clear everything out and identify the gaps of like, okay, My jeans from last year aren't looking how I want them to look on me. Maybe they're too big, too small. I've got to get rid of some and get some new ones. You can say, okay, I know that I need a new pair of blue jeans and I'd like them to be this sort of fit. And by doing that, then you are actually looking for clothes that you need instead of just buying clothes you see that you like. And that exercise in and of itself has completely changed the way that I buy and approach spending money on clothes. Because I used to see like, oh, I really like this piece on that I saw someone would put in like a styling picture on TikTok, for example. And it's like, oh, I love that. But that's actually not something in my closet that I currently need or would wear all of the time. And so why would I buy it? But ultimately, you know, in the past, I would go and buy something like that. And then it's sitting in my closet. I never wear it or I don't pull for it as much. And then I still don't have the things that I need. So go through and identify the gaps in your closet that you actually need. Put together a list and then you can put together a plan if you do want to actually purchase some of them to integrate them into your budget and purchase them in a responsible way. So that's number one. Plus, you'll just feel better when you clear out your closet. The second thing to do is to organize your cabinets and your pantry in like your kitchen, your bathroom, your front hall, all the places that sort of get super overlooked. So for me, that is under the sink in my bathroom where I sort of just like accumulate products and stuff and like throw things in there. So I had a bunch of old makeup products. I got sent some stuff in the past from Versed and from Good Molecules, and I never ended up using any of them because I was on my Paula's Choice grind, and I still am. And I'm kind of in a phase where my skin is good and I don't really want to risk it. So I wasn't using those. I had received them over a year ago and I ended up like they're expired. So I had to throw them away. But I'd been hanging on to them because I'm like, these are perfectly good products that I haven't really used. I don't want to throw them out, but now they're expired and I never used them. So that is a little bit unfortunate, but it is what it is. So I cleared all of that stuff out. I organized like all of my like tampons and pads and stuff that ended up all just getting thrown into a drawer. All of my cleaning supplies, I organized. All of my hair supplies, I organized. Lotions and stuff, I organized. It felt really good. I also cleared out my cabinet space that holds like my sweatshirts and stuff. And then I cleared out the area that holds all of my hair stuff. So like I have a few baskets in this cabinet next to my bathroom where I sort of just like throw hair stuff, toiletries, like travel toiletries and stuff. Cleared all of that out, organized it out. I put together my toiletry bag for travel. So I have that all just like always ready to go. So I don't need to like pack it, repack it every single time I travel. I organized like my headbands and my hair ties and my clips and my blow dry stuff, all of that nice, neat and organized. It felt so good. I had so much stuff to just like kind of get rid of. And then I cleaned and organized all of my kitchen cabinets. So when I moved in a year ago, I kind of just like put stuff away because I'm like, I just want to get everything put away and I'll, you know, reassess and reevaluate this at a later date, which obviously I never did. So basically above where my coffee machine is, I had accumulated this junk cabinet of just stuff where I'm like, this doesn't have anywhere to go. So I'm just going to put it up here because this is where I have the space for it. Finally cleared that out, got rid of some things. Feels really good. I organized all of my travel cups and everything in a different cabinet that I had also sort of been using as like a catch-all cabinet. I organized my pots and pans cabinet. I organized where I keep my blender and my juicer and like some dishes and stuff that I don't use as frequently. I organized my food section, like everything got nice and organized. And then the other thing that needed to get organized for me is my like cabinet next to my table. I use that as like a pseudo bookshelf, but also for like podcasting stuff and tech and things that I haven't been using. So I was really excited to like organize and sort of clean all that out too. So I'm feeling really refreshed. I don't feel like I have junk everywhere, which is so nice. And I highly recommend taking some time to like really deep clean and organize the areas of your space that tend to get overlooked, because it actually changes how I feel about everything in my home. Like I come into my home and I'm like, everything is so clean. And I know when I open the cabinets, it's also going to be clean. And like that just feels really good. The next thing and sort of the last thing that you can do here is to start refreshing your routines. So with the weather changing and it being lighter out in the morning and lighter out later at night, it's normal for the way that you operate on a day-to-day basis to also sort of start to shift and change a little bit. So for me, like because it had been so cold in the morning over the winter time and like it was light or it wasn't light as long and I needed to get my walks in at different sort of times, like my morning routine and my afternoon routine and my work routine sort of reflected that. So like I'd wake up, I'd be cold, so I wouldn't want to go on my walk right away. So I would like do my little work routine in the morning. I've mentioned this. And then I would go on a longer walk in the afternoon and I'd come back and work again. And now it's like, okay, well, it's lighter out in the morning. I'm feeling a little bit more refreshed and like feeling good. So I'm going on walks a little bit earlier again. And I can walk later in the day so I don't have to come back and work. Like I'm re-auditing and redoing some of my spring routines. So definitely think about how you can add like a little bit of spring into your step. So that could also mean hobbies, adding in some new hobbies. I have a few that I am hoping to add in the spring. I am thinking about taking some tennis lessons again. I also am cooking more. I've started crocheting again. I've been doing my sourdough. I'm still doing Pilates. I'm still doing hiking. So it's just a great time to reevaluate how you're spending your time, especially after work, since we now have 2 to 3 hours of extra light in the day. And we're going to continue having more and more and more up until for the next 3 months, essentially until we get to the beginning of July. So definitely recommend thinking of a new hobby. Think of some new things you can add into your routines to sort of seize the season, you know, like this is the time where we all come back to life. So it just feels really good to like refresh your routines. The last thing you can do here, this is sort of like last thing you can do is like clean out your email inbox, unsubscribe to stuff. I add this to life because I feel like I have so many non-work related emails. Obviously, I mean, I have a work email that's separate and then a personal email, but my personal email is a disaster because I have so many like shopping and travel and recipe and like miscellaneous emails that I'm subscribed to. I think I have like 20,000 unread emails and like it's just a lost cause at this point. So clear that out if you have the brain capacity to do it. I certainly don't. So that is what it is. But if you can unsubscribe to emails and stuff, unsubscribe to emails, take some time, dedicate some time to actually do it. It's so annoying, but you'll feel really good when your email inbox isn't like a freaking disaster. If I used that email every day, I would have to do it, but I'm really particular about my work email specifically. And so I have no spam or subscriptions on my work email unless like somebody does it for me or like subscribes me to an email newsletter for me, which I've found that I've gotten put onto email newsletters from like creators that I never subscribed to, which don't do that. If you are a creator and you are looking to like grow your email list, do not subscribe people that didn't subscribe to your email. That's heinous and weird. But I'm really particular about my work email. So I feel like that email is nice and clean, but my personal email is a literal disaster. And since I don't go in there every day, I don't care as much, but if I did, it would drive me nuts. So to quickly summarize the life spring clean, clear out your closet and identify gaps in your spring and summer wardrobe if there are any or if there's anything that you may need to buy. Put together a nice little curated list so you're not buying things that you don't need. Go through and organize your cabinets, your pantry, clear out your bathroom, clear out your kitchen stuff, clear out any of the closets in your home that are overflowing with like winter coats and winter stuff that you keep saying, I'll deal with it later. Now's the perfect time. Open the windows, spray some nice scent spray in your home and like really embrace the spring fresh air. And then refresh your routine. So the weather is changing, it's lighter out. We want to seize the season, add a little spring to your step. Maybe think about a new hobby or something that you can add in to really just make life feel good again, because the winter is over and we're all coming back to life. And then the last thing too, if you have the brain space, is to clean out your inbox. So with that, I am going to wrap up this episode. If you enjoyed the show and you have a positive review to leave me, please do so on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify Podcasts. If you have constructive criticism, you can please send it to me on the Don't Depend on Daddy Instagram or via an email. Please don't leave a negative review on my page because that's super annoying. We've talked about that before. Don't be that kind of person. Put out the energy that you want to get back. So if you're going to leave a mean review, you can expect some bad karma in your life. And with that, I'm going to end the show. I'll see you next week and enjoy. Bye.